Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, guys, it was another crazy weekend of football. On top of that, the regular season baseball has ended. We got the playoffs coming. So why not capitalize on a lot of this and make some bets? Go to mybookie.ag. Enter the promo code ARMCHAIR. And you get a first deposit bonus. Put 100 in, you get 100 back. So it's extra money for you to play with and make some money in the course of Christmas and all kind of holiday travel coming up. Why not take care of all that right away? And not to mention, you can also bet on fantasy points. All kinds of props. First half, you can bet on the first half, second half, anything. Bet on the first 5 innings. So again, guys, go to MyBookie. They have a great mobile site. They've been in business for years. Check them out. You bet, you win, you get paid. All right, guys, welcome in. It's another Panther Rants podcast, or should I say Pit Panther Rants and other sports rants, brought to you by Armchair Media. Check out Armchair Media. We got plenty of other podcasts besides this one. There's a bunch of ACC ones, NFL. And or if you're into MMA, we got that as well. Go check it out. It's at Armchair Mia. Sorry about that. My allergies wrecked them this morning. Of course, so I talked, and next thing you know, my throat, you know, all of a sudden, gagging. All right, happy Monday to you guys. It's a Monday after a Pit win, and I'm sure we're gonna get a riveting Pit live wire. And let's be honest, I really can't wait until this live wire comes out, if they even release one. You know, I want to see the theatrics of this whole game that happened on Saturday. You know, how are they gonna do this one? Maybe have it where, like, you know, Narduzzi gives an emotional speech about how the stars are down and we have to, you know, we got to man up. And I know you guys can't do it, but you got to do it for the team that it moves on. I want to see how this gets spun. Or, you know, maybe they do something different with the live wire. Like, what are we going to do with this game? The game, what happened on Saturday, let's just forget it happened. We won. That's the great part about it. But let's just forget it all. It ever happened. And, you know, let's just forget it all. I mean, this game pretty much was like, you know, when you go to a party and you got your circle of friends. And, you know, there's always a, you know, if you're a guy, there's that one girl that you guys, you know, you and your buds always, you know, tend to pick with her. Whether you just do it out of fun or maybe, you know, there's just something about her that annoys you or whatever. But you happen to be that guy who doesn't, but is secretly attracted to her. And you're not doing it to pick, you know, to piss her off. You just want to play with her. And, you know, after a few drinks, well, you know, things happen. Next thing you know, you wake up next to her in bed. Or on the flip side, if you're a female, and of course there's that one guy that you can't stand, and after a few drinks, same thing. You wake up next to him. And you both wondering, what the hell just happened last night? What the hell did we do? What happened? And that's when you just look at each other and you say, well, let's just forget it happened. with some mutually agree that, this episode just didn't occur. But who knows? Sometimes when these things happen, you end up with that person. You end up marrying a person down the road. You know, sometimes that's how, relationships end up. You end up, there's a person you secretly can't stand it, but you secretly like them, and or you just, become friends or do the hush thing. But this is basically pretty much what happened on Saturday. It happened, and we struggled against a 1AA team. I mean, at least we didn't lose to them like we did with Youngstown State and Paul Crisp, first game as head coach. We actually won. And we're not the first team that's ever struggled with a 1AA team. There's plenty of other teams and power conferences that have done this. So I'm going to stop convincing and spinning this. And yeah, there's a lot of things we can question about it. The injuries, and obviously some of Pitt's players are banged up. And I guess Pat had full confidence that, they can win this game without him. I mean, Delaware was a 28-point dog, so I hope he took Delaware with us with the points on that one. I mean, the game itself, for me, wasn't available to bet, and I'm glad I never did. I'm glad it never was available, and I'm glad I never bet on it. Anyways, guys, looking at the game itself, Nick Patty had a hell of a game, statistically. And he made one big throw, two big throws towards the end of the game that, got us the lead. 3rd and 17, he just aired it out to Taysir Mack, and Mack made a beautiful catch. And then a few plays later, he hooks up with Taysir Mack again for the game winner. Pitt outrushed Delaware, outgained them, outpassed them. One glaring statistic is that Pitt turned the ball over twice, fumble and interception. Delaware didn't. Delaware pretty much protected the ball and took advantage of whatever we can give them. But at the end of the day, Pitt won, and that's it. Okay? We won. Is it not good enough for some people that we won the damn game? I mean, we won it. I don't care. We won the game, okay? So let's shut up about it and move on to the next game, Duke. All right? I want to hear about the fact that we won by 3 points. And then we benched most of our starters. And that, Pat had to do this. If he doesn't do, if something happens, we criticize him. There's a lot of takes galore out of this. So, it's over, guys. Just leave it go. Let's leave the virtual signaling to later in the season, more bitching about something else. This is just not the hill to die on. Okay, we won the damn game, okay? For God's sakes, we won the freaking game. Anyway, we got Duke coming up. And we'll get to that with the ACC, but because, the Coastal's about to get weird again, like it always does. And that's just how it is. It just gets weird. So, because they, Friday night they pasted Virginia Tech 45-13. The game started out kind of slow. And I know because I bet the over on the damn game. It was 51. The over was 51. And of course, Duke decided to run up the score late in the game. And they went over. And I was like, woohoo! Because I'm sure in the past, Tech's probably beat them and rubbed it in their faces several times, and Duke's like, yeah, you know what? I remember these old times, so yeah, we're going to do it to you too. F you, brother. But things aren't going too well in the Fuente era. I thought maybe with Buzz Williams, or Buzz Foster, I should say. Well, Buzz Williams went to A&M. Bud Foster is what I meant. I figure once they ushered up Bud Foster, he could get his own coordinator, things would get a little better. Because Bud doesn't really recruit, and he pretty much says, give me whoever and I'll make this work. And you know, with the way college football is, I don't think you really do that anymore. But the offense looks to be hot garbage as well. And with all the transfers and a whole bunch of stuff going on in the Fuente era, it's probably... I already gave my prediction. Because UVA is trying to break their losing streak against Tech. Because no matter how bad Tech has been, they can't beat them. Here's what's going to happen. Right before the UVA game, maybe like a week before, maybe you know, Tech is going to fire Justin Fuente. Then they're going to put Bud Foster as interim head coach. And then Tech is going to spank UVA. And then they're going to give Bud Foster the send-off and carry him off the field. That's what's going to happen. That's my prediction. I ain't put that on Twitter, too. You know, so it's there. And if I'm wrong, whatever. I've been wrong many times on Twitter. I haven't get shit wrong on Twitter. And of course, there's some people that remind me about it. Because, you know, that tweet button is so... It's like the red button. You just can't help yourself. You got to fire that tweet off. Yeah, I'm just going to fire this off. Yeah, I'm going to do that. But that's probably what's going to happen. And that same night, we had Maryland and Penn State play. And Maryland, you know what? The Lionel game was -6 Penn State. I'm like, huh? And that was too easy to pass up. I mean, they covered by halftime. I mean, we were in the middle of the second quarter now, and I tweeted out, we still got another half of this game? I mean, this is ridiculous. But to our credit, hey, they covered, and of course, I didn't think, you know, I really wasn't. I had my doubts of Maryland because, you know, the hype around them was they scored a lot of points in their first two games. They went to Temple, and Temple brought them down to earth. So naturally, Penn State, you know, you could tell how the game wasn't go in the first drive where Maryland was driving because, you know, the first drive of the game was always scripted. They always had the plays figured out already. Well, he had a guy wide open, and I guess he didn't see at least it looked like it, but he didn't see the Penn State defender underneath him. He just saw the receiver. And a Penn State defender swooped in and picked him off. And then Penn State scored, I think, two plays later. I mean, that's how pretty much you knew how the game was going to go. But that's just, you know, how things go. And, of course, we got some more weirdness going on in the ACC, which we'll get to here. Let's go around the ACC. There wasn't many games this weekend. Or at least it doesn't look like it. Syracuse knocked off Holy Cross 41-3. So Syracuse gets back in the win column. Clemson beat North Carolina 21-20. This was a hell of a game. North Carolina came out with everything they had. And of course, I would say the big thing was that Mack Brown opted to go for it instead of going to overtime. Because people said, you know, the way that the game was going, Mack could have just taken the overtime and challenged him. But I think, looking at how from Mack Brown's perspective, if you go to overtime, you're giving Clemson the short field. So they're going to get the ball at 25 each time. And I think really he wasn't crazy about their chances then. Because if you get into overtime, Clemson probably buckles down on defense. Maybe holds North Carolina to a field goal, and then Clemson, you know, with the short field, wins the game with a touchdown. So Mac obviously wanted to win this game here and there. And you know, the play call could have been a little bit better, but it happens. But yeah, it was a bad play call for the most part. He tried to run out. I don't know. I think Mac forgot that he didn't have Vince Young as his quarterback. He had some other guy, and he's just a little slower. But look at the rest of the ACC. Virginia and Notre Dame played, squared off. And this was a hot bet because people were going with, people loved, UVA with the points. And I think at kickoff it was 10.5. This was a weird weekend for betting because a lot of the bets people thought were short bets weren't the short ones at all. I mean, I actually, the one bet I really, did pretty well, two bets I did pretty well on. SMU was 7.5-point favorites over South Florida. South Florida's becoming hot garbage, and so I did pretty well with that one. And I took Utah to cover 6.5 against or was it four? It was between 4 and 6.5 over Washington State, because the difference between Washington State and Utah is Utah can score, but they also play defense, and it was at Utah. Whereas Washington State can't play defense. They can score points, but they can't play defense. But UVA gave Notre Dame all a handle early in the game. They were leading at halftime, and not to mention they got onside kick to start the second half. It just didn't work out. The big backbreaker had to be a Bryce Perkins fumble, and then Notre Dame almost took it to the house. I believe they scored on the next play or two. The next thing you know, it was 28-17. Yeah, because they were up 17-14. Notre Dame scored. They were still in the game, and when that happened, that was pretty much it for UVA. That was it. But as far as the Coastal was concerned, UVA is still in the driver's seat. But it's about to get very, 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 very weird in the Coastal. Georgia Tech got slaughtered by Temple 24-2. I thought this game would be a wee bit more competitive, but it wasn't. And that's okay. Wake Forest knocked off Boston College 27-24. Wake is 5-0, and they may be 8-0 by the time they meet Clemson. And I thought maybe NC State and Syracuse would give Clemson a little run for their money, but it looks like it's going to be Wake, and I'm surprised. But, I mean, this is the same Wake teams that we used to see, where they're just small but ferocious. And for BC, I expect them to be at least 5-0 or 4-1 at this point, or not. And speaking of NC State, they lost to Florida State 31-13. Alex Hornibrook had a hell of a game. I was expecting more at NC State this year, and unfortunately, I'm a little disappointed. Looking at the rest of the top 25, Oklahoma, they knocked off Texas Tech. They're on a roll. I thought Tech would give them a game just by a little bit, but I was horribly wrong on that one. Wisconsin beat Northwestern 24-15. Wisconsin was a 24-point favorite. I wasn't betting that because Northwestern's a weird team to bet against because they get up for certain games. And for some reason, the likes of Wisconsin and Michigan State, they tend to get up for. A&M barely beats Arkansas. I don't know. I think people tend to give, Chad Moore some problems because, you know, he's taking over. I mean, they're criticizing him over taking over a bad Arkansas program. And I think you have to give him time because look what he built at SMU and look what's being done there. I mean, SMU is now ranked for the first time since the death penalty. USC and Washington. Huskies win that one 20-14. Ole Miss, you know, they got ran out of the thing by Bama. Bama's pretty much got a cakewalk in their conference. They won't see much of a challenge until they get the actual title game. SEC title game, that is. But that's pretty much, you know, as far as any of our games that's you know, stick out, not a whole lot else really does. We got the Steelers tonight. They play the Bengals, and, you know, it's going to be lonely for me going to work today because I get to have the Texans fans and the Cowboys fans trash talk their teams over who lost the worst yesterday. And then they're going to turn around and look at me and say, what's going on with your Steelers? They're playing tonight. Do you think they're actually going to win a game tonight? And then that's why I have to say, well, you know, I guess I'll cry in my 7 Super Bowls. And oh yeah, you haven't won a Super Bowl in almost 10 years. So yeah, go cry. You know, whatever. Exactly. So everybody gets to trash talk each other health wise, whereas they have to turn around like me and say, well, what's happened with your Steelers? They're 0-4. It really could be bad karma because I remember when the Steelers started 0-2, and this was like, I forget what season this was. This was 2014, I remember. They started out 0-2. Or it might have been 0-3. It may have been 2013. One of those two seasons they started 0-2. And I had Texas fans ragging on me because they were 2-0. And then they lost a really bad game against, I think it was Seattle. It was at home against Seattle, where Shaw threw a pick 6 in overtime, and then they lost. Then they lost out the rest of the season. So, be careful, guys. It's bad karma to, you know, pick with me. But they got the Bengals, and both teams looking for their first win. And I'm not sure what they can do here. You know. I'm not sure if this season's a lost cause. I don't know what, you know. I know James Conner took a lot of criticism after last week's loss because, you know, he fumbled in a critical point. I mean, you know, ball control has been an obvious issue with James Conner. He's been on the fumble on occasions, and I mean, he has nothing really to prove to me at all. I mean, after what he's been through and what, you know, he recovered and got drafted and had a hell of a college career and got drafted. So he doesn't have much anything else to prove to me. But if he's not doing his part, he needs to be held accountable. You know, he's a Steeler now. I'm sure he's mad about the haters, but, well, when you fuck up on certain occasions, people are going to come out and bitch. And, of course, Tyler Boyd, he's gone up to a really good start with the Bengals, despite the fact, you know, they're bad. But he's on pace to have a really good season statistically. I mean, I didn't think he would have much of a career, given how things were going for him. But you know, he had a crossroads, and he ended up recovering. And he had a really good season last year, and he ended up signing a nice contract. So good for him. LeSean McCoy scored another touchdown. So you know, J.P. Holtz got his first, you know, catch in the NFL. Things are going pretty well for the Pitt alumni. But as far as the NFL games go, this was a weird weekend for betting as well. Some you know, what the F moments happened. I didn't bet any NFL games. I'm glad I didn't. Although on FanDuel, I lost out pretty bad. But you'll have that on certain weeks. You just got a knack for these things. But as far as, you know, Baker Mayfield had a hell of a game against the Ravens. And of course, he feels that people are giving up on them and they're counting them out. But, you know, when you have a loaded offense where you have two really good receivers, a really good running back, and another running back who will be there soon. And if you're not playing all that well, Pete, you're going to have your critics. But I hope, you know, for their sake, they should hope they continue to win. If not, they're going to be one of the biggest disappointments in football history. And obviously, if you're a Pirates fan, you're going through some things now. Clint Hurdle was fired. Steve Blass retires. I think he retired. Well, I know he was done with broadcasting. I'm not sure if he's going to be doing work within the Pirates system or not. I mean, I grew up watching Steve Blass on television, hearing him. And it was him and Lanny Fritteri. And then, you know, Lanny retired, I think, over a decade ago. But I do remember, you know, watching Steve Blass on television, you know, the Pirate broadcasts on KBL. And then I believe it was KBL, then Fox Sports it became. I think it was Prime Sports at one time. It was Prime, then KBL. It went through a bunch of names, I remember. And hey, I wish him well. But as far as Clint Hurdle goes, it's hard to win here in Pittsburgh, given the cards are stacked against you. I feel like they did a hell of a job. Although, towards the end, the team got stripped apart. You know, I mean, at one point, the Pirates won 98 games, and there was opportunities for them to, at the trade deadline, to upgrade their roster and maybe make a run, and they didn't do it. They stuck with what they had, and eventually, the talent they had, they ended up offloading anyway. I don't get that. Because you have a really good product on the field. And on top of that, you're making your profit. And your profit's even greater by, you know, having a really good team. People love coming to your ballpark. I don't get it. And the Pirates' problems are still... they're the same as they always been. Even when I had to hear them on the radio, when I didn't want to. And it's, well, pitching's always a problem. I remember, you know, back in the mid-2000s, Pirate pitchers kept blowing out their arms for some reason. They always kept getting hurt. But of course, they had nobody else in the farm system because, you know, their scouting and talent sucked. So that was always a big issue with them. Was their farm system, player development, all the problems you see now have been the same problems for the last maybe like 20, 30 years. it's obviously not going to get better. You thought it would when they, you know, they held those draft picks and they drafted Alvarez. They got McCutcheon. They got a whole bunch of players. You figure things were going to get better, and they did. I mean, they had some winning seasons, and then they offloaded the talent. They got rid of the players, which I don't really get, but whatever. I just know when the Astros, when they, back in 2017, when they were really good, they needed one more arm for their staff. And of course, there was people saying, we need to get an arm. And the Astros almost didn't do it, but ownership gave them the green light to go grab Justin Verlander. And initially, they were worried about giving up certain things for him. But that's, you know, when you're a franchise like the Astros, who's never won a World Series, those are things you have to do. So they gave up some key prospects and got Verlander. And without Verlander, they don't win the World Series. Hell, without Charlie Morton, they didn't win the World Series. Although I do think they probably regret not re-signing Charlie. Charlie cashed in Tampa, and he had a hell of a season again. But definitely without Verlander, they don't win that World Series that year. And that's just what you have to do sometimes. You know, you got to make moves, and Pirates didn't make them, and now the Astros, they've reached a point now where they know what they have, and they're trying to, they want to stay competitive. They want to, you know, remain on the top. So they lost Morton. They went after, they went and got Zach Greinke from Arizona. And they're in the hunt, obviously, for another World Series title, and who knows if they'll get it or not. They didn't have a team last year, but they had a really good pitching staff. It's just Red Sox were a hot team, and the Astros didn't have the offense to match it because their players weren't healthy. They were hurt. This year, maybe it's a little different for them. Who knows? But, you know, Verlander had a 21 season. Gerrit Cole won 20 games. I mean, for Pirate pitchers to leave and get better, I think it's pretty vindictive of what's going on with the staff. What happens after this, I don't know. It may be the same circle as we always have seen with the Pirates. And I see people wanting to email Peduto and do all this crap. And politicians can't do anything. They can't make them do anything at all. It just is what it is. And you just, you know, I mean, you can hope that nothing gets bought out, but I don't know if that happens. I think, you know, I think these Pirate fans are stuck. And it irks me. People are saying that, you know, they may move the team down the road if this keeps up. But why in the hell would you want to move this team? You got a beautiful ballpark. You're going to make money no matter what, because people are always going to come and watch them play. I mean, wouldn't you want a really good baseball team as your bonus and maximize your profits even more? Would it make sense? I don't know. I think it would. But it's either they're trying to, you know, sabotage this team, or they just don't give a shit. Or maybe they just don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing, or they don't give a shit. It's probably one of the two. Anyways, guys, I'll stop here. Enough of the Pirate rant. Enjoy the Steelers tonight. Hell in a pit. And, of course, like I said before, in the ACC Coastal, it's going to get weirder. We'll talk about that probably either Wednesday or Thursday. I'll pick guys. Bye.